Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11. Of course, we have Michael Bohn running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with the snipe. Now, we do have to start, obviously, with the Browns' adventures this weekend. Like, all right, we're going to get a little bit into the game coming up. Of course, I'll be back with you guys again tomorrow night, 8 to 11. But we're not going to have the luxury of talking too much throughout the back half of the week. Thursday night football takes us out that day. And on Friday, we're going to get to talk to you guys for about 30 minutes. That's all we get. We get 30 minutes to have a conversation leading up to the Brazil game on Friday. And then obviously I'll be back with you guys Sunday morning. We'll be here from 7 to 10 a.m. But so we get through the schedule of the week. I thought it was interesting. Obviously, seeing the picture that circulated on social media, Jimmy Haslam, Andrew Berry down on the sideline talking to Albert Breer on the Ohio State sideline going to the game, for which you can only turn around and say, well, is it really a shock to anybody that they went to the game that Arch Manning just so happens to be playing in? Like, listen, it was also in your own state. It was also Ohio State versus Texas. It was, in theory, the best college football game that could have possibly been provided by the weekend. But I don't think it's coincidence either that, you know, you're out there watching Arch Manning. Yeah, the number one quarterback prospect to start off the year is the guy that you go and just happen to see in the week of college football that you get before the season starts. And it just so happens that on the trip out to go evaluate the two teams, you know, scout a little bit, see what's going on, Jimmy Haslam makes the tag along with him, right? They make the tag along with Andrew Berry and with Kevin Stefanski to go actually take a look at things. There's no way that you can turn around and say this is by any form coincidence, and I know that most people aren't. Like, yeah, so they're evaluating two teams that are certainly going to have guys destined for the NFL. There's more there than just Arch. But I think by the time that Jimmy shows up, you know it's kind of Arch time. There is an evaluation of Arch Manning happening there. And it does make you wonder a little bit. Like, if we're going to go full-fledged into this thing and we're bringing out the entire crew to go watch quarterbacks, there does have to be a little bit of a balance there. Now, like, going forward, I don't know that you're going to see certainly Kevin Stefanski out on football fields on Saturdays. He's going to be with the team on Sundays. I doubt you'll probably see Andrew Berry going to too many college football games throughout the season because GMs just have a lot much more to do during the season. GMs have talked about, I know Howie Roseman as of recent has talked about, like, you don't really want to go out during the season as much. Like, some GMs will, a lot of GMs won't. Because as soon as you step out, you receive a call and then you have to do business. It's a whole lot harder to get some business done while you're on the road of trying to evaluate quarterbacks instead of, you know, back at the facilities at work and actually able to make those calls and make things happen. But I think if you're seeing Jimmy out there, like, they're trying to tell you something. I don't think it's just coincidence that Jimmy, oh yeah, why don't I just go watch Texas, Ohio State? Why don't I just tag along? It tells me that the Browns are clearly looking at quarterback in 2026, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, by the way. Like, if the Browns are not evaluating quarterbacks for 2026, that should be a little bit concerning. You drafted two this year, but there's also a chance you have to draft one next year. I would say if you're not looking at quarterbacks, you're probably doing something wrong there. But now comes to the point where okay, you're going to go out and evaluate these quarterbacks, but you do have to have your brain in two places, and GMs always have to, but it's more specifically the Browns, who are trying to run a little bit of a quarterback competition still, at least between the two rookies, and eventually some point this season, you probably see the rookie quarterbacks. You have to be able to get a fair assessment and an accurate assessment of, I'm looking at quarterbacks, and I need to figure out if I have one here in 2025, while at the same time going and looking and saying, do I have one in 2026 that I just have to draft in the first round? I have to have this guy. And I think the concern level starts with, I don't know how much trust there can be in the Browns to actually do both. Right? And not just actually go out there and do it and just be like, well, yeah, we took a look at the quarterbacks and we obviously evaluated for 2026. We did it. Pat ourselves on the own back. But to actually do it. Right, to actually look at your quarterbacks this year and say, okay, I'm going to get a fair assessment of Dylan Gabriel at some point and hopefully Shedeur Sanders at some point, and we're going to go out, we're going to look at those guys, see how they do, and we're going to look at this with a clear mind and say, is the quarterback in 2026 that much better? Is he that good to say, yeah, I drafted two last year, third and fifth round picks, but I have to have the one in the first round? And to throw away and say, all right, well, you know, these guys aren't good enough to hold it over. And I think that's where the doubt starts to creep in on whether or not I trust the Browns to actually go out and do it. I just don't know that I can take this team and go, okay, you have to evaluate at the bare minimum three quarterbacks this year. The quarterback you want in the draft, which you're going to have to do more because who knows where the hell you're picking. But we'll play it safe for right now. You have to evaluate the quarterback you want in the draft. And you have to go out and evaluate both Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. You are looking at three different quarterbacks and trying to assess, is there a franchise quarterback in here? And make sure that I pick the right guy. Now, typically in drafts, which the Browns still have consensusly just not gotten right, it feels like a pretty simple prospect, right? Like, you go out and more often than not, you look at the quarterbacks and say, this guy is a number one pick. Like, if I'm debating between quarterbacks, somebody usually comes out above the other ones, and it's like, yeah, he's a clear consensus number one. Right? Like, we just saw that this year. Cam Ward was the clear consensus number one pick. Any team that was drafting at one that needed a quarterback was going to take Cam Ward. Because there wasn't another quarterback that lived up to everything they thought he could be in this draft class. Now, there's obviously years where that doesn't happen. I think you can rewind back to even the Baker year where you go and look at it. It was conversations about whether the Browns were actually going to take Baker Mayfield in the first overall pick. It could have been, you know, go down the line of Sam Darnold, or it could have been Josh Allen, but they decided to land on Baker. There's obviously flip-flop here, but the answer feels so much more clear when you just do it in the draft, right? When I have to go out and say, okay, the best of the college quarterbacks is player X. When I'm looking at guys at the NFL level, and I'm looking at the two of them that I've already spent capital on, and then evaluating all of the other guys on top of it, which, you know, obviously if you don't end up with the number one overall pick, you might not have the consensus top quarterback here. You might have to be looking down the line at later guys and then evaluating between another two or three. I think it becomes so much more difficult to actually nail it and get it right. And this is where the commotion comes in, where, yes, you have two first-round picks. Doesn't guarantee yourself that you can trade up to the number one. And if Arch is the best thing since sliced bread, that you can just have Arch Manning. You have to determine, is Lenoris Sellers going to be as great as Shedeur can be, or as Dylan Gabriel can be, or as Grant Nussmeier can be, and Cade Klubnik can be? And now I have a whole pool of guys to decide from, and I just don't know that I can trust the Browns to get that decision right. We're going to sit here and go through it, and you get that bad feeling that the Browns are going to go through the same thing they've gone through for, I mean, bare minimum, the last 26 years of trying to find a quarterback. And it always feels like somehow, some way, you end up taking the wrong guy. And I don't think you're crazy if that level of fear starts to creep in and it starts to show itself and you feel that worry. I mean, if you're sending Jimmy, Andrew, and Kevin out there, though, I know what you're looking at. Albert Breer of the MMQB on earlier today with Afternoon Drive talked about the Browns' presence out there on the field for Texas-Ohio State.
I don't think it's quarterback specific. I think maybe like the involvement of the owner would be. Like that's the one thing I would say is like sometimes when the owner goes on trips, it could signify that. I mean, it also like for some owners is just an opportunity to get around their scouts and, you know, it can be a good trip just as far as, you know, bonding with your football people. And look, like they weren't the only ones. I mean, there are a lot of GMs that will go out on the road that specific weekend for a couple reasons. First of all, their season hasn't started, right? So they have a little more flexibility to do it. Since the cutdown isn't that weekend anymore, there is not the amount of work for them to do at home than there used to be. And the players are mandated to be off, right? Like there's rules in place. I think it's, you got to give them something like 4 or 5 days off in that window. So you can't even work with the players if you had a choice, if you had any choice to.
So if you go through and evaluate this, is the Browns are out at a college game, this means they're evaluating quarterbacks. Guys, you can look. I'm pretty sure all 32 GMs were out at a college game this week. Okay, like it was a vast amount. It might have been 30 of 32. A majority, if not all, of the GMs made their way out to a college game this week. But again, it feels so specific when you tag in Jimmy Haslam, as Albert alluded to. It's like that feels like a quarterback move. What else does my owner have to be out there for? Like, maybe it's just Jimmy getting more involved and sort of, you know, easing his way back into the team, trying to make sure they're making evaluations and going through this collaborative process that they love to talk about. But it does just feel like this is a quarterback-dependent thing. And Jimmy, if he's going to sign away his franchise to, I'm going to draft a quarterback in the first round, damn it, this time let's get it right. I would think that's something, one of the only things that Jimmy would actually want to be attached to and a part of in evaluation for this team. For good or bad, you don't have to love it, but that feels like something that Jimmy would want to be a part of. 216-474-0092. Can the Browns balance the 2025 season and the quarterbacks they have with finding a quarterback in 2026 throughout this year? You guys can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake's doing it to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Of course, we have the station buzz coming your way here at 7:40. We're going to talk to Daryl Reiter coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get Daryl's thoughts on Jimmy and them being out there. We'll obviously talk Browns week one heading into this week, what they look like against the Bengals. It is a blind tier Tuesday, so we'll get to that. Get a grip, Guardians, change your mind with Michael Markoch later on in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Can the Browns balance 2025 and their quarterbacks they have with finding another one to take in the 2026 class? Can they actually make that assessment accurately? And we're going to talk a little bit more about Jimmy. Your calls and all that coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Again, I think you can do it. Like, you're going to go through and make it happen. I just don't know that you can do it accurately. Like, I don't know that you come away with the proper evaluation. You have scouts and everything else that are going to go through, and they're going to take away their evaluations. Andrew Berry's going to be making evaluations, probably from both close and far, as the process eventually plays out. I struggle to find the belief that the Browns are going to go through and consistently find themselves the correct quarterback. Like, I think there's definitely a way this year where you walk away going, oh, well, you know, whoever you want to pick. Jackson Dart looks great. Why did the Browns pass up on taking Jackson Dart? Or, you know, and any other of the quarterbacks that were taken. You can go through, you can pick Tyler Shuck, you can take Jalen Milroe. Obviously, Cam Ward wasn't available to them, so we're not going to throw that out there. But, like, you could go through, and I'm sure one of these other quarterbacks will have a solid career that you could sit there and go, oh, Browns passed on him too. I just don't know that all of a sudden in 2026, without especially a top-tier pick, the Browns get it right. Or that you don't walk away from Shedeur Sanders in, you know, 2 years of development, whatever it takes. We walk away with Shedeur Sanders going to play for another team and being like, oh, and then he's a franchise quarterback, and it was under the Browns' nose the entire time, and they completely missed it.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Feels like that scenario is just bound to play out when you sit here and look at, okay, you took two quarterbacks and you're still trying to find another one. And we've talked about, you know, 5-6 quarterbacks that could find their way into the first round next year. I mean, we've rattled off the names of guys that are there. They're going to have to make a decision, whether that's early in the first round or the middle of the first round. I doubt it'll be late with the two picks between Jacksonville and your own. But you're going to be early to middle. There's going to be quarterbacks to select between. You're going to have to try to make an evaluation and get the quote-unquote correct guy, the right guy for your spot. And I just don't know where the faith comes in there. Now, again, you can't go through and expect the Browns, though, not to evaluate quarterbacks for 2026. If you were bothered by the fact that the Browns sent full force out to watch Arch Manning, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, they should be out there evaluating every quarterback and every opportunity. And Andrew Berry, on a week off, like Albert had alluded to in the clip that we played last segment, I mean, if you have the week off, Andrew Berry should be out there looking at quarterbacks. Your scouts should absolutely be out there looking at quarterbacks. If you're not evaluating for the quarterback position for 2026, you're doing this thing wrong. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you might want to be evaluating for a quarterback in 2026. Surely, if you're any other team not named the Titans, you're evaluating for quarterback in 2026. Almost every team in the NFL should be looking at it, and certainly the teams who don't know they have a surefire answer at quarterback should be looking to find out, do I need to be taking a guy in this draft? Is there a guy that I just can't miss if he falls to me to take in this draft? The Browns are obviously in that situation. You're starting Joe Flacco week one here. You're starting a 40-year-old quarterback for the beginning of your season. You are in full quarterback evaluation mode. Even if you have faith in Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, you should still be looking at, okay, well, I drafted those guys in the third and the fifth round. If I have an opportunity to draft Cade Klubnik, and through my evaluation, I think I look at him and say, he's without a doubt going to be a franchise quarterback. We just have to be the ones to believe in it. Yeah, I want to go out and then draft Cade Klubnik. If you have any doubts about Dylan or Shedeur, but you are 1,000% all the way in on Cade Klubnik, Lenore Sellers, whoever, you should be taking that guy. Especially for the fact that if neither of your two quarterbacks pan out, you should be considering them. Again, Albert Breer on today with Nick and JP, and he chimed in and talked about the evaluation process and what the Browns likely will be doing in 2026. Is this the right course of action?
How often does a third-round pick or a fifth-round pick become your franchise quarterback? I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory looking at the depth chart when you see a 40-year-old as a starter, and then you see two rookies that were drafted outside of, what, the top 80 picks, whatever that number is. You know, like that are on the roster, like chances are they're going to be looking for a quarterback in the first round of the draft in April. It's just all you have to do is look at it logistically. And so, of course, they need to be out there. They need to be looking at all the different quarterbacks. They need to be doing all of their homework. And the live exposure part of it is a really important piece of it. So I would say they'd be more worthy of criticism if they weren't doing all of this right now.
Like, I don't really don't care how big of a Shedeur supporter you are, or if you're a Dylan Gabriel supporter. I don't care on either side. Again, if you're a team without a quarterback, it feels like if you go into the next year being like, oh, well, we got two guys. We got to see what they can do. Let's not focus on quarterback right now. Let's not go out there and figure out what we have out on the market for what's going to be in next year's draft. Albert's right. Like, that should be full-on entirety of criticism out to you to be like, oh, well, you just feel like you don't need to do your work more than other NFL GMs right now, more than other teams searching for a quarterback. Any leg up that anybody can get on me is the worst possible thing that can happen. Any evaluation you can take away from being at Texas, Ohio State, or LSU, Clemson this weekend that I didn't get the opportunity to have, that's a mistake on my part. Again, I should be out there considering everything. Just because you drafted Carson Schlesinger this year doesn't mean I'm not looking at linebackers. Just because I drafted Harold Fannin this year doesn't mean I'm not looking at tight ends. And I get it. It's one quarterback. That guy should play every single snap. It's not the same as saying, well, I need three linebackers, or I need two linebackers out there at any given moment, or I need multiple corners. It's slightly different, but just because you draft a guy doesn't mean you stop looking. Again, anything could happen. Like, if, again, Dylan and Shador look bad, you don't want to be behind the eight ball being like, oh, now I have to find a quarterback. Now I have to start my evaluation. And you're 9-10 weeks into the college football season. The college football season's over. And you're going back and just looking at tape. That's a misstep by the Browns if it were to happen. So I can't be out here and judge them for coming out in full force. The one thing I know people probably will take a little bit of umbrage with is the fact that Jimmy Haslam is out there. Because it does start to show, Jimmy's starting to poke his nose a little bit more into the Cleveland Browns than the last few years. Because obviously, he had the Columbus Crew to worry about. He had the Milwaukee Bucks to worry about. There were plenty of things that were occupying Jimmy Haslam away from, I'm fully focused on the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to be involved in the decisions that the Cleveland Browns make. You obviously still take, a part of that. You still have to sign off on, like, a Deshaun contract. Jimmy wasn't completely away from the table on everything. But it's not the only thing that he has. It's not the only thing there is to worry about. But if you're looking at this, I don't know how I truthfully take away Jimmy being there is a completely bad thing either. I get it. If you want to say, leave football guys up to just doing the football work and Jimmy should stay out of it, I understand that side. And in most cases, I am fully on board with, you hire guys to do the football business. You are there to evaluate the guys doing the football business. Do they get wins onto the field? Are they doing the right thing, taking the right course of action? And if not, if they don't align with what you want, then you find another guy that will. I think part of it, too, though, is like Jimmy, I think, should also be out there for nothing else. If Andrew and Kevin and everybody's looking at quarterback and looking at other players, part of doing your evaluation process on your own staff would be seeing how they do work, talking to those guys, seeing the processes they go about. And I think being right there with them and involved and inside the huddle. I don't want Jimmy going, oh, well, we should take Arch Manning because I looked at Arch Manning and I think he looks great. I don't care what you say about quarterback X, Y, and Z. I liked Arch Manning. We're taking Arch. That's not what you want to happen. But that's not a guarantee of what's happening just by Jimmy Haslam showing up to Ohio State, Texas, or showing up to any of these college games and taking a look at the quarterbacks. It should be you involved in the process. Anything that you can learn as an owner on your staff and how they evaluate guys is only a plus. And if you come away and I say, all right, well, I liked this guy, and this guy, and we took away and we liked these things, but for some reason you landed on, Lenora Sellers. Sure, take Lenora Sellers. You're the football guy. You know more. But if I walk away and said, you had nothing bad to say about Arch Manning, and we all looked at him and said he was great, and I would have taken him, and you let him slip through your fingertips, and you decided to take somebody else, then you evaluate the way that your staff does their business. You evaluate how they do their job. And at some point, that comes down to just more than wins and losses. That's being shown right now by the Browns this year. By sticking with Andrew Berry and sticking with Kevin, and in theory, what we think is going to happen, which is they stick with them past this year, I think that you should be, searching into how those guys are doing work and trying to evaluate them closely. The greatest thing for a manager, or in this case, an owner of any set of staff, is to be able to walk away and say, they're doing things great. I don't have to keep a close eye on them right now. I don't have to go closer and dig into what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. You get to walk away from it and be like, I know they're going to do their jobs and they're doing a great job and I can be less involved right now. Well, it happened for a little bit for the Browns. They were making the playoffs. They were putting together semi-winning seasons, certainly more than they had in the past. Where I don't know that Jimmy could have walked away, but he could have said, well, they're clearly figuring things out right now, and they've shown me they can produce winning football. After 3-14, after you thought you had it figured out, and Andrew Berry, clearly staked his flag somewhere down the road on Deshaun Watson and okayed on that, and Kevin did the same thing. And that ended up in the colossal failure that it was. And this team last year ended up in the colossal failure that it was. You go back and you have to evaluate things. You have to keep a closer eye on your staff and see what they're doing and evaluating whether or not they're doing a good enough job. You've been around enough football guys. Not to say that you are the football guy, but you know how those guys work. You have to start keeping a closer eye on the staff and evaluating how they're doing their job. If for nothing else, this should be an evaluation for Jimmy to say, all right, I'm going to now basically play babysitter. You guys can't put together winning seasons with the team that we had that we talked about for playoff aspirations, potential Super Bowl aspirations, and you turned around and you gave me three wins. Congratulations. I'm back. Manager now has to be on site. We have to redo everything that you're doing. We have to go through and keep a close eye on everything that you're doing because it's not holding your feet to the flames, but it's certainly making a statement that your jobs aren't just cleaning away. You haven't done a good job. You haven't produced winning football. So now the eyes are on you. Now we're evaluating things closer. And this might be a 2 to 3 year project of looking at you closer and giving you a little bit of leeway because you've done things for me in the past. But this is not just I walk away, you won some football games for me, 2, 3 years ago. And now I can just say, all right, well, we're fine. They'll get back to that. I can trust those guys. No, this is a reevaluation. It just doesn't scare me that Jimmy's sitting there and actually going to the college games because at this point, I think if anybody else was an owner or managing something or you had other staff that wasn't performing, you'd probably be right there with them too. You'd probably be keeping a closer eye on them. Eventually, your owner is going to have to meet your quarterback. Those guys, you're going to hope probably at some point have to get along too. Again, 216-474-0092. Does it bother you that Jimmy Haslam was with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski at College Football Week 1 at the Shoe? I just don't see a problem with the slightest. All right, we're going to get to the station buzz coming up here in about 5 minutes as well. Daryl Ryder going to be joining us at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, which means we're going to get to Get a Grip coming up at 8. So plenty of things on your way, a little bit of moving parts, but we're going to still have a good time. We're still going to get through it. Station buzz coming here at 7:40 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We have plenty of Browns still coming your way throughout the time. It is a Blind Tier Tuesday. We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. Let's do it with the station buzz.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let's kick things off, and let's start, obviously, talking Browns. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on today with Baskin and Phelps, and Mary Kay detailed how the Browns can pull off a win against the Bengals on Sunday.
How is Joe Burrow and how is that offensive line going to handle what looks to me to be a dominant defensive line of the Cleveland Browns? I think that is where the game is going to be won by the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, is their defensive line getting after Joe Burrow, and they better have a game plan for how he's going to get the ball out quickly and how they're going to function on offense, because I think Myles Garrett is going to come out with his hair on fire. I think Mason Graham is going to show out very well, and the rest of the defensive line, I just really think that that is where the game is going to turn.
So I think it's interesting because I, in a way, disagree with where Mary Kay's at in the evaluation of this, but not that the defensive line isn't going to be important, because I think they're going to be a massive factor in this. It's just that I look at the defense as a whole, and I'm like, I just trust the Browns to play an okay game against the Bengals. Like, hey, I don't think that they're going to shut them out by any means. I don't think that they're going to go out there and make the Bengals offense look like fools. But I also don't think they're just going to get lit up. It just typically does not happen. If you go back to the start of the 2021 season, since then, there have been all but two games where the Bengals have finished on offense between 16 and 24 points. You get an 8-point window of here's where the Bengals consistently finish against the Browns. You have two outliers, which is they scored 13 in 2022 on Halloween, that odd game where Joe Burrow was like half hurt and they couldn't get the offense moving and the Browns took the win. They also, in January of 2024, so back half of the 2023 season, they went through and scored 31 on the Browns. You have two outliers in what is four seasons worth of play where they don't score between 60 and 24, playing them two times a year. I just sort of know what the defense is going to provide me. I know that the defense is going to step up and they're going to, you know, put the Bengals in a modest spot, or I trust them to at least do that. For me, the key to winning truthfully does turn onto the offense, because you were 32nd in the league last year. You could not muster points if it was against the Bengals. You couldn't muster points if it was against the best defense in the league. It's the turnaround on what they can actually produce. I know the Bengals defense is supposed to be bad. I know in the early looks that we've gotten on them, they have been pretty bad. I need the offense to be able to exploit that. That feels like where the game is won. Because you've gone through and still played the Bengals well defensively and not taken away wins. Last year was not a strong year for you going up against the Bengals. I think, though, if the offense can actually produce, you put yourself in a good spot to compete against what is a bad defense. If you can get out there and Joe Flacco looks like he did in 2023, that's where you start to win games. If you go out there and look like the offense of last year, I think that's where you start to lose it. They just feel like so much more of a bigger X factor to me. I look at the defensive line and I think I know what I have. I don't have to rely on, oh, well, a lot of question marks sitting over there. I have Myles Garrett. I drafted a kid 5th overall who looked pretty good in the, you know, in the preseason play, for whatever that's worth. And I have some level of faith in guys like Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire to go out there and actually play well. I just don't have that same faith looking at not just Joe Flacco, but the entirety of the offense. I can't go out there and say the run game's going to look good and Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson are going to be able to hold things down. I can't go out there and say I have faith in the wide receivers, or to some degree even Kevin Stefanski's offense in week one. I need to see it produce. I need to see it with Joe Flacco back at the helm. Can he recreate what he did in 2023? I think that's how you win the game. Maybe it's too much trust in the Browns defense. Maybe I'm sitting here and going crazy and I'm just off my rocker, but it does feel like that's sort of what I want to see. Keeping it moving, but going to one of Mary Kay's colleagues, Lance Risland, Coach Riz, over there at Cleveland.com, on today with Afternoon Drive. And he talked about Joe Flacco's contribution and what the offense has to look like and whether or not Joe knows it.
I think if you can keep it in that 25 to 35 range, and 4 to 7 of those are shot plays where you're not really reading a bunch of stuff, you're just trying to set it up with the run. I think he understands this year, for them to be successful, they have to play close to the best. They have to be boring on offense. Now, you got to let them cook a little bit. You got to let them eat a little bit. But however, I think that comes with play action. I think that comes with, I saw that a little bit when during the preseason, after a big pass, they go back to the run. So I think they got to shorten the clock. They got to do things well. And I think he understands that a little bit more, being a part of this whole offseason and now being the starting quarterback.
So, I mean, it makes sense. Joe would go through and actually understand the differences, right? He stepped into in the middle of the year, and it was kind of just, well, Joe, you're going to be our best option. Learn the offense, but then go be you. Now that you've had an entire offseason, it's actually understanding exactly what Kevin Stefanski wants, and knowing that the offense was essentially yours from the start, and there wasn't much of a competition there, but, you know, competing, but knowing that you had a really good chance to win the job. I just don't know that that gets through to a 40-year-old quarterback. Like, if the best case scenario is, hey, Joe, you go out there, you protect the football. It's not always going to look flashy. You might not put that many points on the board, but we need you to protect the football and then have moments of being you rather than just going out there and being you. Again, I think when you tell that to Dylan Gabriel, or even to some degree, you know, if it would have been Kenny Pickett, who's been in the league for 3 years, and you said, hey, I know what you do, but here's exactly what I need you to be. I think that you can get that out of the young guys. I think that you can get them to adjust and change, because they're constantly trying to adjust and change their game to fit what the team needs and become the best version of themselves for the team they're currently on. And Joe's played for several franchises. He's been in the league now 18 years going on. I don't know that that's the message that gets through. I think Joe, at some point, in any quarterback at this age, you pretty much revert back to doing what you've been doing for the last two decades. You go back to being the same quarterback that you've always been because you know what works, and clearly Joe knows what it takes to stay in the NFL. He's consistently had a job playing in the National Football League. I don't know that you can just all of a sudden ask a 40-year-old to be something, not even that he's not, but to completely, you know, refine his game and pull it back a little bit. I think at some point Joe wants to take over the offense and Joe wants to run it the way that he knows he can go out there and score points. If you ask Joe to, hey, I need you not to turn over the ball as much, and Joe still makes the mistakes of turning over the ball, but you just limit him on the great things that he can do, you're going to lose out massively. Joe has to be able to protect the football better than he did in 2023. There's no question. I don't know that you can adjust the whole offense around it and expect Joe to be a different quarterback than he's ever been. That's where my questions start to rise. That's where I don't know the offense can change and be that perfect. They just protect the type of football that Kevin would love. I can't have that same level of faith that Joe's any different than he has been. All right, moving on. John Greco, former Browns offensive lineman, on today with Ken and Anthony. And he talked about his expectations, what he thinks an upside for the Browns season looks like.
They're going to find themselves in a lot of close games, and then we'll be able to dissect under a microscope what happened in those games. You know, was it a turnover? Was it a missed kick? Was it a special teams thing? There's going to be so many small things that determine one way or another in these games, but I think they're capable of winning 7, 8, 9 games. I'll say 9 games. You know, in their division, they've shown that. I know there's some terrific teams in their division and terrific individual players, but anybody can beat anybody in the division. And do they have a tough, you know, road schedule, tough schedules, especially early? Yes, but anything can happen in the NFL, and I think they have the defense for it when they're healthy, and I think they have the leadership at quarterback with Joe Flacco. If they can keep them upright, hopefully they have enough weapons that where he can distribute it and they can score some points.
Now, keep in mind, before I take a little bit of umbrage with what John said, I'm the same person that told you I would be as surprised if they win 2 games, if they win 10 games. Like, they're in that range. There's certainly a path, and I see where John's coming from, that they can go out and win 9 games. I just think part of this is the preseason hype of it too, though. Like, everybody going through and making the claim that, oh, well, this team can be better than they really are, right? And obviously, leading up to the season, I think a little bit of hope builds. At least I'm hoping it's building for your Cleveland fan base. I mean, hey, you're going into a full football season. Your record 0-0, okay? There's something on the table. There's a reason to be hopeful for that alone. Like, it builds and you start to, you know, think that your team can be better than they really are. I'm sure somewhere in New Orleans right now, there's somebody giving the exact same thing as, hey, I mean, if Spencer Rattler comes out here and looks really good, or if you get to Tyler Shuck early and he looks really good, this team can go out there and win 8 or 9 games. They can go out and surprise people. And we look at that and we're like, listen, the New Orleans Saints are not winning 8 or 9 games. That team is bound for failure. They don't have a quarterback. The offense, they just had to change their head coach. And the defense isn't even all that great. But I'm sure there's somebody making a claim. They went through and played the schedule game, and they somehow got their team to 8 or 9 wins. It just feels like a lot of preseason hype. I don't know that the Browns are truthfully destined for that. I think it's possible. I see the route where you can get there. You think you're just, again, flipping a coin 50 times and banking on heads being the answer 50 straight times. Yeah, it's possible. Probability tells you it's out there. There's a potential for it happening. I just wouldn't go making any bets on it. I wouldn't go, you know, expecting anything like that to happen. So, yeah, if you land on heads 50 times in a row, the Browns can win 9 or 10 games. The same way, if you land on tails 50 times in a row, you probably win 2. I just don't think that should be anywhere close to the expectation and what we think it should be for the Cleveland Browns. You should be aiming for about 6 or 7 wins. That's probably the expectation. Allow them to surprise you outside of that. That's all it's going to be. It would be a surprise, not what we should be thinking is going to happen. All right, let's get one more in here. Albert Breer of the MMQB again on today with Afternoon Drive, and he jumped in and talked about the potential. Quinshon Judkins, could he play in week 1?
It feels like it would be. Yeah, it feels like that'd be a little much. Obviously, he was around in the spring, so he has some baseline for the offense, but I would think you'd probably want to give him a little bit longer to ramp him up. If for nothing else, then he needs to get in football shape. You know what I mean? Like, and whatever he's been doing over the last, you know, month and a half, it doesn't necessarily replace going and getting knocked around and getting your body ready to play football.
So, I don't know. Week 1, I think I agree with Albert, is probably a little bit too ambitious, but I don't know that I look far past week 1. Like, if we get news coming down tonight or tomorrow, Quinshon Judkins is officially signed with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, week one might be a step too far. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if he's out there by week two. Like, if my expectation is supposed to be that Quinshon's sitting on, you know, his couch right now eating potato chips day after day and just watching TV, I would think that's not the case. I would think there's a clear message from his agent and probably to some degree the team to be like, hey, this is probably going to get done at some point. You're probably going to be signed to be a Cleveland Brown. Do me a favor and stay in shape. Okay, do what you can to stay in football shape. You're not going to be dead ready when you get here, but we're going to get you ready quickly. I just wouldn't be surprised if I see Quinshon out there by week two. Now, I don't know that he's going to be taking 20 to 25 carries in a game. I don't know that he's ever really taking 20 to 25 carries in a game the way that Kevin loves to go with running back by committee. I mean, potentially. But I think he could be out there by week two. Like, there's not a crazy amount for him to have to go out there and learn that he's absolutely wild. He's not a quarterback where you can't just, you know, put him in there and be like, hey, run the offense. At the end of the day, your goal is to run and to pass block. You think you can pick up those two things. You've had to do those two things in your career. It's more about, you know, making sure you're in football shape, making sure that you're not putting yourself at a high risk for injury, and then going out there and getting a chemistry down with what is going to be Joe Flacco, and probably, you know, go out there and get some chemistry with Dillon Gabriel just in case. But everything else, I feel like, should come a second nature. It should be like riding a bike for Quinshon. And you should probably see him in the backfield taking carries by week two, again, if he's signed this week. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we are going to get to Get a Grip. Again, Daryl Ryder going to be joining us at 9, so we're pushing Get a Grip up to 8 o'clock, which is about 5 minutes here on Overtime with Jake Volmick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.